immune in terms of the legislation. Now, I want us to put our mind in response to the letter from SASCOC, put our mind in terms of these two documents, the rules of the National Assembly and the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Yes, Cora, President Cora.
Thank you, sir. You see, sir, if you can remember, during the time of most magician, SASCOC took the very same stance. And I think the president is making a mistake. Because this minister whom he speaks about also accounts to this committee. If he has briefed the minister, well and good. But if the committee wants to be briefed, he has to honor that. Irrespective, and I mean to write such a letter to say that it's now Gideon, the president, who gives this CEO an instruction. Just tell that committee, we are not coming. We need to use our powers as this committee, commission, and make this point clear to Gideon, or to SASCOC in particular, that they must read the constitution of the country and to understand how to deal with parliament. I think, and I make a proposal that committee, that a letter should go to SASCOC. They must disappear to come to this committee. If they fail to do that, then we have to take the most drastic steps to do that. Thank you.
I'll give you the last. Donald and Mackenzie.
Chairperson, really, I want to address you on two matters.
Yes.
The fact that Eastern Cape is not here this morning. The reason being, Chairperson, there are things happening in the Eastern Cape that is really against the fact that we want to establish a franchise there. There was an election over this weekend in one of the regions border, and there, at the end of the day it was split into two, and what happened afterwards I don't know. You know, if people want to, if you want to invest in something, if we want to invest in the Eastern Cape, Chairperson, we must have confidence in the Eastern Cape. And then we must have people who respect the outcomes of an election. You can't have elections and then at the end of the day you turn your back on the elections and have your own little thing in the corner, Chairperson. I'm telling you, people in this country, people in this world, they watch these things, Chairperson. And those people in the Eastern Cape, they must know what they are doing to rugby needs. They must know what they are doing to people who really, at the end of the day, I started now believing the Eastern Cape again. We started winning, the king started winning. It was a good feeling to have Chairperson. Just to hear that, Chairperson, over the weekend. I think it's very, very sad. And I think we should really apply our minds to what's happening there. The other thing that happened in the Eastern Cape this weekend, Chairperson, and this was now not a provincial thing, but it was a small teams. At the end of the day, the team didn't really, the one team, it seems, didn't really accept the result of the match. There was violence, Chairperson, to such an extent that a young child, the son of the deputy president of Mr. Joseph, his son died, Mr. Chairperson. He died, Mr. Chairperson. And really, I think from this committee, we must send something to that family to tell them that we think of, you know, they're in our force, Chairperson. No, and that again, you know, and I read the two things together. It's one, not accepting a result in East London. And the other one, also not accepting the outcome of a rugby match, Chairperson. And a child died, Chairperson. It is very, very sad. And I'm talking from, a person coming from the Eastern Cape. We want to do something, Chairperson, but they must realize there is a big responsibility on them, too. That's the first point, Chairperson. Now, the second thing is, Spatchcock. Yes, I agree with you, Chairperson. You know? And what makes me angry about this, again, Chairperson, you've got ministers with that same sort of attitude. If you call them, they tell you to stuff, to get stuff. Oh, it is true, Chairperson. What signal, what are they telling the people out there, Chairperson? And it's for that reason that we must be very careful how we act in this space, Chairperson. And really, you know, I got so angry with one minister the other day. Not because it's another party, Chairperson. It's what is they doing, or what is that person, I don't want to have a gender thing here, what is that person doing to this institution, Chairperson? And therefore, if she can, yes, that person can say, listen to hell with you, then you are other people also that think they have that sort of same sort of right to say to hell with you, Chairperson. We must be careful how we act, Chairperson. And in this committee too, Chairperson, we must be very careful how we act. Understand? We must be careful of the things we say and the things we do. I disagree with Mr. Sam for not accepting, you invited him, Chairperson, not accepting your invitation. You understand? And therefore, be made aware of the consequences of such actions, Chairperson. Therefore, I think another letter should be sent for. But at the end of the day, Chairperson, what is this all about? It's about the future of our country. About this little contribution that we can make in this committee, Chairperson, to sport in this country. The best thing that's going in this country, Chairperson, sport. And therefore, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes people make you angry. But then you must sit down and calm down again. Said, listen, my friend, in the interest of this country, change your stance. Change your attitude. Understand? Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah. Thanks, Donald. I'll speak after everything, and then I'll just say something on what you said. Mr. McKenzie. Yeah. Sister, you wanted to say something? And then it will be Mr. McKenzie and you. So we'll give first to members of parliament, and then because this is a committee session. And then I think Cedric will discuss with you probably of what you wanted probably to convey. But when the committee sits, unless we invite you to come and give information, but now we have not done that, so I'll ask Cedric to handle that quickly with you. Mr. McKenzie, and go ahead, Kavanine, and then from there it will be Suka.
Yes. Thanks, Chairperson. I think Donald has covered it. I think, Chairperson, do we have a copy, first of all, of the invitation that you extended? Okay. I would say, and sorry, my second point is, have you discussed this issue with the minister concerned? Because reading between the lines here, I think, apart from Mr. Sam being arrogant, there's an arrogance here, okay, we're just not coming. Apart from that, I think what he's trying to say is there's a legal process and he doesn't want this to be, if you look at the last paragraph.
No. Let me quickly answer. You see what Donald said now? It's exactly what should happen. And even if they should the legal process there, and then Gideon Sam must have respect for the institution, and then Gideon Sam cannot say to us, as members of this house, I have spoken to the minister and therefore go and get information from the minister. It's wrong to undermine this committee. And let me say, comrades and members, in this parliament and then us as sports and recreation, we are the last committee to can set the precedent of people who obliterate this institution in disguise. That is what Gideon Sam is doing. I hear what you're saying, that maybe has informed the minister. Whether I can go to minister 100 times, it's not our business. His business is when he's called by this institution. And even if he feels that he cannot come, but this institution, when he calls him by this institution, Gideon Sam must have respect for that institution. That's all what we needed from him.
Yeah. Now, Chairperson, the point I was making is that had the minister briefed you on it, was there something that Sam was concerned about that he shouldn't be here? I'm trying to see. But in the absence of that, then we must demand that he does appear here.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing.
All right, because this is total arrogance then. If you haven't been briefed by the minister, this is total arrogance. That's all I can say. And then finally, Chairperson, just it's not on this subject, on the question of the host cities and the hearings we had on Tuesday, I would like to talk to you or address this committee at the conclusion of this matter with SASCOC regarding Durban and Cape Town, because a lot has happened in KZN since those hearings on Tuesday. And I would like to just brief you about that, because I think we've got to bring those people back here to make sure that they understand that 3.5 billion rand in Durban and over 3 billion in Cape Town is not going to go to waste, because they're not being honest with each other. So, but I'd like to just talk to you about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. No, I also want to concur with what my colleagues have already said, that this is a totally unacceptable chapter. We cannot have any organization or an individual in this country who can think that they can defy Parliament, because this committee is acting on behalf of Parliament, which even this minister that is quoted here is part of. So we cannot allow this chapter. So I want to concur with my colleagues who said we should come on them to come and appear before this committee. Thank you.
I'm going to waive my right because look, we are repeating the same thing.
Okay.
Because the tone, the reminder of us in paragraph 2, I'm not sure why are we being reminded by the author of this letter, the author of order. And then the last issue, the question of the sensitivity, to whom is it sensitive? Because it comes by law to this committee to hide information. They should know they are well addressed about the conventions of Parliament, how it works. So these are legal people. They are schooled. So surely they display that sense of arrogance. I'm not sure where does it come from, that they behave in the manner in which they are doing. Because at one level, they blow us hot and cold. Because at one level they want the support of this committee, at another level they don't want it. So I do have a little bit of a difficulty around that. So I'm saying, Chair, we need to call them and remind them that the Constitution and the rules of Parliament, maybe they were not level-headed when they were writing this letter, so that we remind them of the two clauses that you write, so that if they exceed that or they undermine that, well, we can take another recourse. So, in support of what has been said by all members.
Okay. Colleague Tetut. Chairperson, you requested me to interact with a gentleman over there, which I did. And he's from the department and basically saying that SASCOC, in terms of the National Sport and Recreation Act that we passed, is the reporting lines is the ministry and also Parliament. But even beyond that, Chairperson, I think SASCOC is acutely aware of the situation. If you look at the bottom of that page as to who sits on the board of SASCOC, with the exception of Mr. Sam, all the others were there. All the other board members were there. In fact, there's a member of parliament sitting on that board as well. So we must interrogate this matter further, and we also need to look into our sanctions if some of our own members of parliament act in a certain way which is not in line with the constitution. As far as Mr. Sam is concerned, I would agree with the earlier suggestion that a letter, a formal stern letter, must be written to them before we start engaging in the formal processes of getting them to appear at Parliament. Then there's also other issues, Chairperson, which the DA has mentioned earlier, as far as rugby in the Eastern Cape. It's our view, and we articulated that view immediately after the aborted election, not aborted election, when one of the parties walked out of the border election, that we don't get involved in elections of those bodies. And Mr. Sofile should have accepted that if he doesn't have the majority support, that the people in that meeting have the right to elect whoever they want to elect into that position. We don't hold any brief for any specific candidate in those elections. And then as far as the tragedy in Utnik is concerned, more than 30 people were also injured in that tragedy. It is a matter of a police investigation at the moment. I think they made arrests last night because we insisted that the guilty parties who instigated the violence be arrested and be charged. And that has been done. So we must get a report as soon as possible, Chairperson, as to exactly what happened there. But even more scary, Chairperson, you know, we sit sometimes in Parliament and we pass legislation.
legislation goes to the ministry for implementation, and we must oversee the implementation of that legislation. Now, in terms of the Safety at Sport Events Bill, or Act, that was passed by Parliament, there are certain responsibilities that the department itself also has. And the question beckons, what has the department done since that Act has been passed to familiarize the different stakeholders in federations and also to set up joint task teams with the South African Police Service? Because this event happened at the local level. At the local level, it was clubs that was playing. And upon inquiry, the cluster commander of the police said that they were not even aware that such a lot of people were going to go to that event or that an incident occurred. They only found out after we phoned them. And it beckons the question, are federations really aware what is expected from them in terms of the legislation? And that is where the department has an important role to play, to familiarize the federations as to what is expected and also to set up what the excess, what must be done to avoid such incidents from occurring. Because it's not only happening at club events, Chairperson, even at school matches or former Model C schools in the Eastern Cape area, you have the one side of the field, the parents standing there of the one team, and on the other side you have parents from the opposing team standing. And very often if a decision on the field of play goes against a specific team, the parents of those children run onto the field to assault the referee. That is how bad it is. So it requires really a broader approach in order to prevent a reoccurrence of what happened on Saturday afternoon and evening.
Yeah, I think it's a matter that really needs an attention. I think, Cedric, what you're raising around how this piece of legislation, all pieces of legislation, as you speak, it triggers me on the Sports and Recreation Act, on the service level agreement, on the responsibilities of the national federations and all that. Has the Department of Sport have a discussion in familiarizing these people around their responsibility? Because SASCOC could have not been as arrogant as it is, because SASCOC would know that it is accountable to Parliament and the ministers simultaneously. SASCOC could have not taken that stance. Now, it's a question of, are we passing this piece of legislation? How do we make this legislation people acclimatize, and they must know that there are these kind of legislation? Because the piece of legislation that we've passed here on safety at sports and recreational events, it's an enormous piece of legislation that speaks of the categories and all those other things. And even other people who were doing a submission there, if members would recall, they said, now, what about us people who are in the rural areas where at times we are not even aware that there will be hundreds of people coming to a game there, and subsequently hundreds of people turn up? Why do you do a legislation for only people who stay in the town and us in the rural area, and then such a disaster could occur? And that has happened. That has happened because I remember when we were doing this piece of legislation, Donald, there were people in the rural areas who were saying, is this piece of legislation going to speak to them when that has happened? And then there it is, it has happened. But I think the department is coming on the annual report. One of the things in the annual report there, it's about implementation of the pieces of legislation that were passed here. How are they implemented? Who were the people that were familiarized? Workshops that were taking place around federations on these pieces of legislation. I'm sure we have a chance of a meeting and discuss that. Yes, Donald.
You know, I've listened carefully now. And really what we must do from our side, I think one must write the department a letter informing them of what happened in the East Cape. And then asking them, have they briefed all the... Have they had a meeting with SASCOC to brief them on the implications of this law? You understand? Because that is the way that I think they use... they should communicate with the sporting world outside, have a meeting with SASCOC and inform them, listen, this law, because of what happened there, and I think it's urgent, Chairperson, tell them of what happened in these cases and ask them whether they've briefed the all their affiliates and the unions about the implications of the law, Chairperson.
Now, Cedric will just, we'll sit with him and then we'll just give me a background and just explain to the department what has happened there and say they must check that there was consequences of not knowing what the law is all about by the Federation has led to the injury of those scores of people who were there. And somebody died there. And then I think it's an indictment to people who are supposed to deal with the monitoring of them. Because you know what? Even if that person, the diseased parent, could take an action, the minister, the national commissioner of police will say, I was not informed of this, and therefore, federations who have organized this, this is their responsibility. They can be sued in their own personal capacity. Because federation has to inform the provincial commissioner, and then, and if it's a matter of a F&B stadium, then the national commissioner is informed, then logistics takes place, and all the other things that are in that piece of legislation then had to kick in to save our people in there. But I hear what you're saying, Honourable. I think I'm going to, I'm inclined that we must take that line. But I just want to read to you, just in few lines, that clearly what we're taking as a decision here is not something that is wrong. It's not something that's wrong. SASCOC are accountable to Parliament in terms of the current sports legislation. SASCOC is inter alia an NGO in a true sense, nor a statutory body relative to the Act. It has not been created by means of the Act, SASCOC. SASCOC is only recognized by the Minister in terms of Section 2(1). Of the Act and is therefore not a statutory body nor a public entity in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, as they say. Moreover, SASCOC is also, in essence, not a wholly NGO per se, as it is recognized by the Minister and its function. In addition to the Act, are regulated in terms of a service level agreement. Then it says, Parliament, as the overseeing legislation or watchdog, has during the 1998 entered into the Act to govern sports and recreation for a specific purpose. Then it says, by virtue of that, Parliament becomes an institution that SASCOC has to account to by any means. So even the federations that are members of SASCOC, federations that affiliate to SASCOC, by virtue of those federations affiliating to SASCOC, and at the end of the year, by each year in April, those federations come and report to Parliament of the activities and all that. They report to SASCOC, and therefore SASCOC has to report to Parliament. Yes,
so Chairperson, to add to that, when SASCOC, who is in charge of our teams that compete at international events, Olympic Games, etc., they're the custodians with the relevant federation. They also depend on finances, money that is being appropriated through Parliament to be given to them. So if that is the attitude that they adopt, there can also be a knee-jerk attitude to simply say that any money that the Minister of Sport requests to go to the federation, the macro federation, SASCOC, and that will not be approved by Parliament then.
Because you're right, Cedric. National Federation and sports bodies account to sports and recreation in Parliament in terms of Section 2(5) and Section C, annual reports and development of submissions of its constitution, of the Act. Section 1 of the Act defines a sports and recreation body as any national federation agency or body, meaning that agency or body, meaning that SASCOC is in terms of Section 13C, directly accountable to Parliament to submit written or any other requirement by Parliament. So we are not just doing something that we wake up overnight and feel that we sukela saskok. But to Mr. McKenzie, there is nothing that we brief about the saga of Athletic South Africa and Caster Semenya. You remember when we said to Ntate Mali, it is almost a year now, because it was 10 months when they were here. We're going now to the 11th month now, and there's never been a report to Parliament, and therefore SASCOC has a duty to inform us of what is happening. If they didn't volunteer to tell us what is going to happen, and then we've correctly called them and say, can they explain to us what is going on there? So there's nothing. That is. But Donald is right. Honourable members, we must never, as this portfolio committee, never, ever. That's what I said to the legal advice of the speaker. I said, we will never, as the sports portfolio committee, never, ever allow anybody to say, when he hates Cedric, or when he hates me, and say, I will not come there. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about this institution. And therefore, Gideon Sam and Sascock are just playing a very dangerous game that they're playing. Very dangerous. The issue of privacy, Comrade Suga, there are processes in this parliament. If a matter is a matter that is sensitive, we are saying we can deal with that matter in closed doors and trigger the rules of the National Assembly, and therefore that matter can be handled in private. But it cannot be SASCOC that determines to us that the issue of reporting to us about Caster Semenya is sensitive. When they were writing about the anatomy of Caster Semenya on the radio and every year public, and today they want to say they respect her, and therefore the matter should be private. It can't be right. And therefore, members, I am saying, I'm taking what you're saying, but I want to say to you with the greatest respect, I'm one person who believes in collective leadership. I have a feeling that you must evoke Section 56 of the Constitution and deal with SASCOC once and for all. So that we must send a clear message that to us, you don't come with stories when you have to do that. But I am saying, because this is a decision that we've made, we will write to SASCOC and explain to SASCOC why we're calling to them. And if SASCOC do not come, then we're evoking the summonses. But what we are not going to do, we are not going to get information to the minister like SASCOC says to us. SASCOC says to us, we've got nothing to do with them. Why are we not getting information from the minister? That is SASCOC in writing. SASCOC is very arrogant. It can't say that. And we are not going to do that. We are going to write a letter to SASCOC today, and then we'll give them enough days. I think it's about 7 days or 14 days. I'm not sure. I'll check there what the rules say. But finally, SASCOC will come here and report to this parliament as the law requires. So I think I'm taking it in that way, and then close it in that way. Before we close there, and the matter of Port Elizabeth, myself and Cedric Donald will do that, and then we'll give members a copy of that letter. We're not going to put it to pigeonhole. We'll deal with it when we meet in the next meeting, because then this thing of putting matters of our committee in the pigeonholes, others, are matters that are not necessarily for the entire parliament. It's wrong. So that those notes will be given to you when we meet here, what kind of a letter that we'll send to the department in asking the department to look into that matter. Because if we don't do that, next week there'll be another interesting game again in Port Elizabeth. And hundreds of people are going to come there. The very same thing that is okay today, it will okay. You see. So you want to say, because I wanted, okay. Mr. McKenzie, I want you to say what you want to say so that at least we are just about to close.
Sorry, just before we close.
Yes.
I think we must really call Eastern Province Rugby to a meeting to chair.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Cedric was saying to me in the morning, are they coming? Then I said to him, no, Cedric, they're not coming because we were going to interact with them on basis of their franchise. But I didn't know that there is such a thing that has happened. But we have not yet have a proper information and enough information around that franchise development in that area. So I said to him, no, Cedric, I have asked for it because there was no information that we've received around the progress on that franchise. So we are going to request a progress on the franchise, and then as soon as there is the progress, and then we will call them and discuss with them. But these election matters are other issues that of concern, because the governance of these institutions start when people do not accept the legitimacy of the election and cause crisis there. That is where the problem is, because from there there will be other splinter groups of other teams that goes with that one and the other one, and then that thing must not happen. But again, the department must be, and SASCOC must be hands-on on that. And SASCOC is going to have a limited role to play there, because they are going to say, no, you are a high-performance custodian. We don't recognize you. The Department of Sports and Recreation is the custodian of the development of sport, and therefore it must interact on those issues, at least to assist stability on governance of those institutions. Mr. McKenzie?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just think that what we learned last Tuesday was very interesting but very worrying as well. And the press, the Sharks, I'm talking about Durban now, and the city have all got into a big debate in Durban. And I'm just encouraging you as chairperson of this committee to follow up on what you said where you would summons the Sharks and the KwaZulu-Natal Rugby Union on the one side, the city on the other, Cape Town City and Western Province Rugby to come and tell us what they really did. Because when I hear both sides of the story, it's even probably worse than we've been led to believe. And we cannot have a crisis, as Regan Hoskins says, where two people can make a decision concerning a 3.5 billion rand stadium. You know, because the background to it, I think you need to know. Was there consulting about building the stadium? Could different sports codes use it and so on and so forth? And I think we need to get to the bottom of it and see the way forward.
No. You see, honourable members, I want to clarify the issue of consultation on building of the stadium. There was a minimum consultation, if there was no consultation at all. And us as members of the portfolio committee, we said, Donald, if you recall, these public facilities must be a multi-purpose facilities for the usage of all national federations. So if we're saying to KwaZulu-Natal, why didn't consult many of the stadiums, there was never a consultation. Instead, it was us who were saying, because there is no individual consultation, these facilities must be a multi-purpose facilities. And these facilities, in terms of the bid argument of the whole city, it must be used in the very same way that they've submitted their bid book, where KwaZulu-Natal is saying, we have three professional clubs and the Sharks and the stadium are going to be used by them as such. Bloemfontein with Bloemfontein Celtics and the Cheetahs, and the stadium is going to be used as such. But the Cheetahs was never involved on the issue of the stadium. In fact, when the stadium was revamped and all that, the Cheetahs were almost resisting because they were saying they're going to lose the income when we're cleaning the stadium and all that. And then we went ahead because the actual thing was go ahead in that way. So there was no consultation. I don't want us to kill people on basis of not consulting other people when the stadiums were done. We're quite aware that there was never a consultation to cricket, consultation to rugby and all that, because the only thing that we're looking at is to host the 2010 World Cup, Soccer World Cup. But out of that World Cup, these facilities must emerge there, have catered all national federation as such. So that is what we have envisaged at the time when we're dealing with the issue of the building of the stadium yesterday.
Now, Chairperson, yeah, no, it's an interesting discussion. I think what we should do is, in the case of both Cape Town and also Durban, is possibly, instead of calling them to Parliament again, to go to Durban, go and interact there with the people from the Sharks, as well as the city, and the soccer fraternity, so that we can see that they move in the right direction. There's also been, after that newspaper reports, Chairperson, the city manager phoned to try to clarify certain issues, and we stopped him to say that we're engaging on an official basis. So I think we must rather go there. Also the city of Cape Town, try to sit down with them, sit down with those officials and see. Because it's in our interest for all these stadiums to be operational and to work. I fully understand also the reason why cricket was not included in the discussion when those facilities were planned. Because historically, if you look at the game of cricket in South Africa, the average crowd at a cricket match draws ranges between 18,000, 20,000 people, then its capacity. So I don't think we must put too much emphasis on the cricket. Cricket is actually spoiled with a number of first-class venues in South Africa compared to other major cricketing countries. And we must really try to bridge this gap that is there in both these two cities to see to it that we maximize the investment for the people.
Now, I think, you see, honourable members, if us as a committee, we have not drawn comfort on the sustainability of this stadium, we shall have missed the point. Because when we do oversight, we're doing oversight confidently that anybody asks you anywhere, are these stadiums going to be white elephants? You must not say, now let me ask the parliamentary liaison officer to go and ask the department or the minister whether these stadiums are sustainable. They said that when you were appropriating money, did you appropriate money on basis of a very clear case business of showing you that these stadiums are not going to be demolished immediately after the World Cup? And then they say, yes, we're very sure. And now I said that, why now you have to go and ask somebody when you have not made sure that those stadiums are sustainable? It's on those basis that we called those people last week, because we said we want to be satisfied ourselves. But are they still in line with their bid book? And when the development bank is through with whatever is doing there, synthesizing, and then is going to come again to us, and then it's going to be a timetable, and then we'll check how the stadium is used according to that program. Up until the stadium, we're saying, yes, now it's after probably many years, stadiums have at least achieved the objective that we've set ourselves on the stadiums, and then in terms of the money that has been put in those stadiums. So that is what we wanted to achieve. Yes, President.
Yeah, Commissioner, I just want to support the proposal of Commissioner for going to these people and just set aside a day or two and complete this.
Yeah. Cape Town is not going to cause us a lot of problems. We can call them here and then finalize them, because the gentleman was here in Cape Town. We told him the other day that Cape Town will have to interact with them, and then because they're here, so there is no need for them. In KZN, and then we would have to sit down, and then I must check what Parliament program is, and then when the committee work, the committee day, weeks, and all that, so that at least one or two days, one day is going to be very awkward for us. 2 days is going to be fine there, because we're going to meet with the Sharks and meet with the city and then discuss, and probably meet also with the PFL or some Golden Arrows and all the other clubs that are there. And then after that, we must meet all of them in one meeting where there will be no anybody distorting whatever decision that we have arrived at there. Because if you meet one here, And then the other one, this other one can be sorted. So you meet all of them. You assess what are their challenges. After that, you say, okay, all of you tomorrow, let's meet in one place. And then after meeting in one place, and then we discuss, and then we have a better understanding, and then we have an agreement on that. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, if that is the case, I would also really, one of the things that was difficult to follow in the presentation of Cape Town and of Durban last week is was the absence of the operators of the stadium. The operator is actually the one that walks around with a business plan. And I want to put it on record, Chairperson, I've seen certain comments in the media. Our municipalities do not have the capacity to run these stadiums. If we look at our community sport facilities, that is the competence of the municipalities, which is very often also neglected, then we must really think carefully before we say that these stadiums must not be given to operators. We must find out, yes, if there are stadiums that is being operated by independent operators, what the contract says. That is what we must get into. But to think that the city with all these responsibilities will be able to run a big stadium down the road like that, we're living in a fool's paradise.
Yeah. Honourable members, I think... Cora?
Yeah, you see, Mr. Chair, when you come to these operators, you must check how is this operator constituted. We must also check if you look at, for instance, the stadium in Gauteng. How many operators are involved there? And then, if it's one person, why one person? And why one group? Why can't this case be said?
Yeah. Now, I think we must check those things because you can't have an operator from Free State and be an operator, sole operator of the stadium in KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. And yet there are people in KwaZulu-Natal that have just been left there deliberately and then because he wants to be the operator of all these other stadiums. This concept that Cora is talking about is what we're very rigid on it. If it is the stadium operator in Cape Town, there should be Cape Town people dominant there. I'm not saying, we're not saying it's exclusive, but 80% of the people that are there in that consortium must be people from the Western Cape. And so is the Eastern Cape in Nelson Mandela. You can't have 90% of the people coming anywhere else and 10% of the people who stay in Nelson Mandela. It can't be right. So those are the things that... But I think the question that Sebi is raising is what is should happen. Because if we can give these facilities to the municipalities, and that meek, it is still this annual that is creating a problem. Honourable member, you must know that you are closing doors for municipalities. If the meek was what we wanted it to be, it must be reinforced. We must know that this money is for facility improvement and facility maintenance, then it would be fine. But giving it to human settlement and there is an invasion of land or there is no water, it takes from that money of milk and close this crisis and then the sports would not get any other thing. And we must still persuade that notion of saying our money for maintenance of facilities for sport. Let it be reinforced so that anybody must not just lay his hand as he pleases on that money. I think we're still married to that. And then that's the only way. But I agree with you, Cedric. Let us not go and kill these municipalities that we have strained them so much up to so far and go and give them those facilities. If these consortiums do not need money from municipalities, but they're maintaining this facility as they were, or as they are. And then I think that is the route that we've got to take. But we are not giving those facilities to those consortiums. It's for management, because the land and the facilities belong to the Department of Public Works or the Department of Sports, and then that cannot be given away. I think that is it. So Honourable members, I've asked Pori not to give you the minutes now. I said you must put them in a petition hold so that you must have an ample chance as from today to read them, and then next week when we meet, and then that we'll consider those minutes, because I want us to have a decent way of handling minutes when people have read them and they still recall what is going on there. I've stopped him because he wanted to ambush us in the morning. I said, you're not going to give us minutes. You must put those minutes in the pigeonhole, and members must read them, and next week, members will adopt those minutes. So, other members, I will do as we have decided, and then this is putting us to the end of the meeting today. Thank you very much, Honourable.